Thank you, Jason. Well, we're gonna tag team here and talk about valuing feeder cattle. And I want to start out I want to challenge you today to change the way you do things. And that's a hard thing to do in life, in anything, let alone in production with your business. But I think there are reasons to make a change, and we're going to try to articulate those today. But to start with, you know, I want you to ponder this question. Why did you become a rancher? I'm sure most of you became ranchers because you wanted to become salesmen. I'm sure that's it, right? You wanted to, like, sell those brushes door to door, or maybe sell some of that snake oil or whatever. So maybe it was because you wanted to be a salesman. Well, maybe not exactly, right? That wasn't exactly why you got into ranching. Perhaps you even preferred a more solitary type of life where you didn't have to run into all those people and try to sell them products. And besides that, if you were good at marketing, you'd probably be in the seed stock business, right? Those of us that like to go out and meet and greet, we tend to be in the bull selling business. And you know, you would love calling people on the phone and trying to sell them your product. And you would relish sitting at a trade show at a booth and meeting complete strangers as they walk by and trying to convince them to buy your wares or animals. And you'd be thinking of catchy phrases to put on your advertising to try to sell your animals. That's probably not exactly what you were thinking when you got into ranching, right? And here's the news flash. Unloading the trailer at the sale barn is not an effective means of marketing. Okay, that really doesn't qualify. If you go study ag marketing at any of these universities, they won't have a course in how to unload the trailer. So how do you do that? What if I sold my bulls the way you sell calves? I like to do this one because this is a something you can relate to. Most of you buy bulls from seed stock producers. What if I tried to sell them the way you sell calves? I mean, what if I put them in an auction tomorrow and didn't call anybody or tell them? That probably wouldn't turn out very well for me, would it? Because my customers wouldn't know they're there. What if I refused to put my brand in them? I didn't really want to source and age verify because I don't want the liability. What if some of those bulls do something bad? I don't want people coming back to me. What if I didn't offer any guarantees or performance representations? What if I didn't want to print EPDs on them because I really didn't want people to know how they were going to perform for the buyer? What if I, when the buyer asked me about herd health, what if I just said, well, they've had all the shots? Would that inspire confidence in you to buy my bulls? Here's another one. What if there was only one buyer in the auction stands the day of the sale that knew the value of my bulls, the true value? Because that's what happens with your feeder cattle. Only one person fed them last year. The rest of us are guessing. The rest of us are guessing. And then here's another one. What if the three largest bull buyers in the entire country, what if the people that bought 10% of the bulls in the entire country said to me, Lee, we're only going to buy your bulls if you're willing to feed them for 45 more days and give them certain vaccinations? And then I'd say, no, I really don't want to be bothered with that. I'd rather just sell them without preconditioning them and backgrounding them and weaning them, right? But that's what a lot of us do in the cow-calf sector. And so if you put the shoe on the other foot where you're the buyer and I'm the seller and you look at all those different things, they sound ridiculous. Okay, obviously no one in the bull business would sell bulls that way. One of my best friends and best customers, a guy named Rod Cook, calls me one day. I can remember I was at the steamboat sale in Colorado for Superior Video, and he called and he said, Lee, can you help me sell my calves? I said, I'd love to, Rod. This guy's been buying bulls from me at that time for about 14 years. I said, Rod, well, tell me. He said, well, they're going to be on the video tomorrow morning at 9. And I said, wow, Rod, it's a little late in the day for that, right? So, you know, we got to think ahead and we got to change the way we do things. And, you know, what are those calves really worth? Well, you haul them to the sale barn, and I can tell you that the auctioneer and the order buyers don't know what they're really worth. And really the sad part of it is, whoops, you probably don't know what they're worth either, right? Because most of us don't retain ownership. We don't feed the cattle. We're not in the feeder cattle market every day. We don't know how our calves compare to the rest of the calves in the country. And so you're really in an unenviable position because you're stuck with a product that the buyer doesn't know what they're worth, and you have a hard time explaining it to them. And that's really the system that we've had. That's the modus operandi we've been under. And there's a reason it hasn't worked. We know that there are huge differences in what these calves are worth. We analyzed the Decatur County feed yard data with about 185,000 calves in it from 2,500 different lot groups from different herds. And this is the variation we saw in price. Basically, from the top herds to the bottom herds, there was about a $600 range. So from the top to the middle, there was about a $300 value range on the value of a 650-pound steer. And 35% of that was driven by feed conversion, 30% of it was driven by grid value, i.e. marbling and yield. 18% was driven by carcass weight, and the other 17% was herd health. So those four factors determined how those cattle did in the feedlot by and large. And it drove huge differences in value. And remember, Decatur County Feed Yard was primarily retained ownership cattle. So you would say that most of the people that fed there thought that their cattle were in the top half, and yet there was huge variation in the profitability of those feeder calves all coming in at the same weight. And the traits that drive calf value, really, you know, in addition to those, would be shrink and condition. And shrink and condition is hard to characterize, but I know Tom's going to talk a little bit about that. But then health, carcass weight, carcass value, gain and conversion. Those are the traits that really matter and drive value. So as we think about a paradigm shift, I found this cartoon online. It said, our study concludes that there's 0% of our customers who will buy from us without any effort whatsoever on our part. Okay, so it's time to make a paradigm shift and say, if I want buyers to aggressively pursue my calves, I need to tell them what the cattle are going to do. And that's really the opportunity and the technologies and the new systems that we're going to talk about here today. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tom, and he's going to talk about how that works.
Thank you, Lee. I really appreciate the opportunity also to be with you this morning, and it occurs to me that the people left here as the meeting winds down are the most intelligent of everybody that came to this meeting the last 3 days. You know why I know that? Because the rest of them had to go home to take care of things that they probably should have already had taken care of, right? And you all have that knocked out, so you're still here. Either that or you just live close, so one or the other, right? It's a pleasure to be with you, and I want to pick up the conversation really right where Lee was and talk to you about decommoditizing the feeder cattle market. And Lee talked about how we don't really, as commercial cow-calf producers, very few of us think about marketing. We don't work that hard at it as a general rule, but that's changing, and it's changing right around us. And we can either be part of that change or we can watch it happen without us and probably get left behind before too long. Why does information matter? That's how we decommoditize the feeder cattle market. That's how we distinguish one group of feeder cattle from the next, your calves versus your neighbor's calves. That's really how we do it. You know, my assumption in looking at this audience this morning is that nobody in the room wants to be an average producer. Probably none of you are average producers. But how are you going to prove to the world, how are you going to prove to the market that your cattle are different, that they're worth more? Information about those cattle is what does it, and we are in a transition. I believe it's easy to see in our industry. If you look at any video catalog, here's my case in point. Pick up any video catalog, and we've all probably looked at a lot of them. A lot of you sold cattle that way. What do we see now that wasn't there 5 years ago? I call it all the stickers and stamps that go with each group of cattle. You go back 5 years or 7 years, maybe 10 years, that wasn't there. What are all those stickers and stamps that are right below the description of each lot of cattle in that video catalog? That represents an attempt to differentiate, doesn't it? It represents an attempt to show that that group of cattle is different in a positive way. And so we're going to use, and we are using, information in our industry to differentiate the best cattle from the rest. So information is going to drive it. So the next question is, and Lee started on this as well, what information matters? What should I think about if I believe what we're telling you, I guess, as a producer, that I need to provide more information to my prospective buyers? I need to provide that information. We'll give you a short list and kind of do this in real simplified form this morning because we only have so much time. But it's going to be basically this list, okay? Frame and condition, flesh condition. It's going to be the health program, especially on calves. If you're selling yearlings, you can get away with less information there. But on calves, of course, it's critical. And then it's going to be genetics. Okay, it's that list. It's a pretty short list. You also need to think about the type of information in each of those categories that you're providing. Is it subjective or is it objective? Is it hard data or is it just opinion? That's going to matter a great deal. There are plenty of cattle out there that the more we know about them, the less they're worth. Did you know that? Did you ever think about that? Our industry is famous for letting cattle slip through the cracks. And I, as a guy who fed a lot of cattle for many, many years and bought a lot of cattle, you know, we were guilty of that at times. We were guilty of, you know, I don't want to know. I'll just take the basic information of how much they weigh, what the slide's going to be, and how many there are, when they're going to arrive, and then I'm going to pay an average price for them. If we'd have known more about them, we'd have probably bid less. But that's not where you want to be, is it? You want to be in a position where you truly have a superior product, and more information is going to add value to that. So let's talk about this just a little bit quickly in going through this. Let's talk first about frame and condition. That's something that the buyer is going to see when the cattle show up. So you can't lie about that. You've got to be honest about that. And it's pretty easy. It's subjective. It's more subjective. Unless what? Unless you provide maybe pictures or a video of the cattle. And then it becomes more objective. I have certain buyers that I work with that buy quite a few of our cattle that come through the Top Dollar Angus program. They pretty much will not buy the cattle without at least seeing some pictures that we go and take with our phones. I mean, they just want to see them. That's kind of a new thing, isn't it? That's kind of a new thing. That's objective information. So you can think about that. If I say my cattle are medium and large frame and they are medium flesh, that's probably going to be an okay type of report, isn't it? As long as they are what I say they are when they show up on the buyer's doorstep, that's going to be a good thing. As opposed to if I say something like, well, they're medium and small frame cattle and they're in medium plus kind of flesh. There's a few of them getting kind of soft and fleshy. So that's both important from a management standpoint and really what the cattle are. And that they're always going to ask. Condition is always going to be very high on the buyer's list. So keep that in mind. Here's a few pictures. Now, they don't tell you everything, but this is one I used on a set of our qualified cattle. And you can see, you can get an idea, and we had about six or eight of these pictures. I just showed one. Does that tell you everything you need to know about those cattle? Of course not. But it does give me at least some information in terms of the current condition of the cattle. If it's 3 months old, doesn't tell me anything. If we just took them last week, it tells me quite a bit about what kind of shape the cattle are in. So let's talk then about health. That's the next one on our list, right? Health program. You know, especially like we said, especially on calves. Are you providing objective information or subjective information? Lee said it earlier. My cattle have had all their shots, or just one slight variation from that would be my cattle have had two rounds of modified live vaccinations, okay? What does that really tell us? What does that really tell us? Not a whole lot. We have come a long way, though, in our industry, and you know this. We have pretty well established in our business what a VAC 34 program means, what a VAC 45 program, what that means. And those are almost to the point in our industry, well, where they're recognized as health-branded cattle. Okay, they're health, they've got brand name type of information or almost a health-branded connotation that comes with them if we can legitimately say they're VAC 34 or VAC 45. That's progress. I think we really have made progress, and we sell a lot of calves that way. Now, here's something that's even better than that, though, okay? And what is it? It's the detailed information on the treatments, the timing, when the cattle were weaned, and so forth. This happens to be on a set of calves, Montana calves, that came through the program. We just sold those calves about a week ago. And here's what we provided. This is the list of information of treatments that we provided the buyers. It's a complete list. It's a comprehensive list. They can assess that more fully because they can see exactly what we did, when we did it, and so forth. And so work with your veterinarian. And I want to challenge you a little bit with this. Is your health program also part of your marketing program? It can be. And it should be. If you have a good, solid health program, it's something you can promote with the cattle. So it becomes part of the marketing that your cattle that you're involved in and selling your cattle and marketing your cattle and promoting them to prospective buyers. And don't overlook that. Don't overlook that. I work with a lot of people that have very good health programs, but you kind of have to pull it out of them. You kind of have to say, go back and build me the list and we're going to make sure the buyers know exactly what you did and when you did it. Now, the last one, of course, is genetic information. Very, very important, because nobody, but nobody that I know at least, that's on the high end of the bell curve, genetically speaking, wants to sell their calves at an average price. That's why I started Top Dollar Angus, because I could see, like Lee said, the value differences in cattle are immense, and yet we have a limited ability to really identify superior genetics. And that's where, you can see from this chart, that's where Top Dollar Angus sits, right at the top 25% of the bell curve for growth and carcass traits. Those cattle are worth more. They're worth more when you sell them as a producer, because they're worth more to the buyer. But without identity, how are you going to be able to capture that value? I also have one table just briefly here. This is a lot like what Lee showed. I'd like to show this to audiences. It shows the horrendous value differences in cattle. Very simply, this was a group of cattle I fed in 2014. I just took the top 10 steers and compared them to the bottom 10 steers in that group, just one pen of cattle. And you'll notice if you go to the column that's next to the right, the value difference per head between those, the top 10 and bottom 10, $457. $457. This is extremely instructive, because the top 10 steers have a value profile that we want to emulate. I can communicate after looking at, you know, reams and reams of feedlot data and carcass data. I can tell you, you can look at all that, or you can just look at this 10 head and you'll have about the same conclusion. So we want to see what the top 10 steers did right. And it's pretty straightforward what they did. They weighed more. They grew faster. They probably grew more efficiently. They weighed significantly more, and those pounds translated to a lot of dollars. They also had higher quality grades. The average marbling score there would put them in the upper two-thirds of choice. And they had more muscle as well. An equal finish. If you keep going to the right as you look at that table, you'll see that both groups of cattle had close to 6/10 of an inch of back fat, which is pretty much average in the industry today. So what is it? What do we take away from this? If you want to create valuable cattle, they need to have some growth. They need to create some pounds. They need to marble. And they need to have some muscle. We can manage the fat, the external fat component, pretty well. That's it. Health, growth, and grade goes a long way. So now a few more pictures. I like pictures. They tell the story. I don't know how well you can say this or see it, but is this a premium producer standing by his premium cattle? I should tell you, he is from the state of Missouri. Okay, so are there any good cattle in Missouri? That's part of the question, I guess, isn't it? Okay. Are they? We don't know, just looking at them. They look pretty good if you can see the cattle, but we don't know. But I can say, because of the information available on these cattle, yes, that is a premium producer, and yes, his cattle fit the bill. They are premium cattle. They're worth a premium, and they did sell at a premium. Now, how do I know that? Here's his DNA scores, okay? If you can see this chart, this is GeneMax Focus, and I work with both of the DNA companies, and I have come to believe over the last 15 months of doing this, DNA is coming, and it's coming fast. Their tools are good. They may not be perfect, but they're extremely useful, and we're going to see it more and more as we go forward. This producer has an elite DNA profile in his herd. That's GeneMax Focus results. I like to graph these from highest to lowest, left to right. And what you see here on a 1 to 99 scale, this producer had almost all of them at the very top. Only a few tail enders there. He easily qualified for Top Dollar Angus, because his group average score was well above that orange line there, which is my cutoff line of 80. Okay, so those were elite cattle, and these are the kind of cattle that go grade 95% choice, Lee. They'll do 45%, maybe 50% CABs if they're fed right, and they're going to grow well in the feed yard too. We got a premium on these cattle, about $55 a head over the market for that guy, and this is part of the story. His DNA performance and the fact that he qualified for Top Dollar Angus is part of the story that we can promote. Now, here's one that wasn't so good. This is from Iowa, just a group of heifers, just to show you a contrast. Same test, okay? And there's that same line at 80, but look at the average here. It's about 60. Now, these are probably not terrible cattle, but they're nothing special. And there's nothing we can do there to promote those cattle, probably to help them bring an above market price, because they just don't have the genetics. They just don't have the genetics to do it. Here's another one. This is from Igenity. This is from a producer in Kansas. I just qualified into the program in the last week or so. High scores, again, for growth and marbling. High scores for gain and marbling here. His average was 6.76. My threshold is 6.25 to qualify into the program. And so this producer, and I saw his bull information as well, and it looked extremely good. So there's one that qualified. His cattle are going to do very well as they go on through the system. Here's a group that is, again, Igenity scores, a much lower scoring group. You can kind of see the bars are a lot shorter there. Average of under 5. These cattle, I know what they did. They graded 25% choice. Okay, there's that much difference. They graded 25% choice. So these are actually inferior, below average cattle. They're not going to make any quality-oriented type program. They're not going to make a premium calf program like Top Dollar Angus. They're worth less. The more we know about them in this case, they're actually one of those examples that they're worth less. We're definitely going to see more programs, as I wrap this up and turn it back to Lee, we're going to see more programs built around the best genetics. And if there's one thing I've learned in working with the Top Dollar Angus program in the last 12 to 15 months, it's that the superior producers that pay more for bulls, that invest more in their genetics, that work harder at it, are absolutely motivated to sell their cattle above the market. They are going to figure out ways to do it because they know they have superior cattle. In many cases, they've struggled to realize that value in the market or to get the market to recognize that value. And that's where programs like Top Dollar Angus and Reputation Feeder Cattle come in. It's all about, in my mind, with Top Dollar Angus, what we do, it's all about getting a premium paid for those superior calves to the rancher, and yet at the same time allowing the cattle feeder or the buyer to do something very rational and paying a premium for something that is truly worth more as they finish the cattle as well. And with that, I'm going to go back to Lee. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. So similar to Top Dollar Angus, there's a program that Verified Beef offers called Reputation Feeder Cattle. I'll hold it away, Jason. Sorry, didn't want. I just woke you a couple of you up, though. That was good, right? But I'll hold it down a little further. I've been known to be loud. But the idea is to help you build better cattle and to get paid for them at the end of the day. And there are really kind of three pillars in the program here, and this is a system that's designed to help you quantify the value of your feeder calves and get paid for them. The first pillar is predicting the value, just like Tom said, based on the genetics. We know that the genetics really set the potential for how that group of cattle will perform. The second part is documenting the management, all the way from what shots you gave to when you gave them, and even some of the nutritional management things that you've done to the calves. And then finally, source and age verifying those, so those calves come with an identification system. The feedlot can easily track them, and they know that the score corresponds to the actual cattle. Now, how do we estimate genetic merit? We utilize information on the herd, and basically it starts with EPDs on the bulls you've used. We get those EPDs from whichever registered source you your bulls come from the various breed associations. We then use the breed of the cows and adjust those EPDs all to the same base. And then we also will incorporate DNA on cows if you don't have EPDs on the sires. We can even use DNA on the heifer calf mates to the steers and incorporate that. And finally, then we look at the expected age of those animals and the weight. Based on those characteristics, we can actually do a simulation model that predicts how those calves are going to perform relative to a national average. That national average is calculated the same way. We take EPDs on all registered bulls produced in the country over the last 10 years, and we run them through that same simulation model and say, that's national average. How do your calves compare to that national average? And then we distribute that and promote it to feedlots who are interested in buying those known qualified calves. And that's basically the way the system breaks down. Here's the scorecard that's generated on a given set of calves. And basically, we're scoring six different attributes. We're scoring average daily gain potential, and on each of these traits, more stars means they scored better. We're scoring carcass weight, feed conversion if it's available, ribeye area, yield grade, and percent choice. So this particular set of calves Cavs, as you can see from that scorecard, are going to excel on average daily gain. They're going to be really big ribeye cattle, and they've got tremendous potential to marble. And those three things, as Tom said, drive a lot of value. In this system, a 10 is an average national score. So this set of calves were predicted to be worth 31 cents over market at a base weight of 500 pounds. So basically, that prediction said that that set of calves should bring about $150 over market price. So that's the way it works, easily understood by a feeder. Feeder can look at that star system and say, I'm going to sell those cattle in a time of the year when the marbling, when the choice select spread's almost zero, well, those calves probably aren't going to be worth quite that much to me. Or conversely, they can say, I'm going to go into a program that's going to pay me big premiums for choice. That's a set of calves that I really want to buy and feed. And so does this scorecard work? Here's an example of two sets of calves. We went into a herd. We divided the calves into different groups by sires. We scored the two different groups. One scored a 20, one scored a 33. So we predicted that there'd be about $13 per hundredweight difference in the value of the calves. It turned out that there was a big difference in feed conversion, a big difference in feed cost, and a big difference in the end carcass value due both to weight and quality of those carcasses, and the net difference came out to $230 in favor of the group of calves that received the higher score. So this stuff works really well. The genetic potential of the animals predicts how they feed and what the profitability looks like. If you sign up for Reputation Feeder Cattle, they'll run that number for you and predict your score for about $300. Then as you enroll, they'll actually come in and agent source verify your calves. They'll document what you've done from a herd health standpoint. And then they'll also add on any, if you want to do NHTC or Never Ever, they're able to certify those programs as well. So it's sort of the whole certification package and the scoring package rolled up together. And then they give you a certificate. And then that certificate is advertised to feedlots around the country. The total cost of the program ends up being just over $6 per calf if you buy the EID tags. So here's a rancher, this Tom Watkins, who's from Oklahoma. It's interesting, he did score with Zoetis and was using those DNA tests, Tom, to improve his herd. And when we looked at his GeneMax focus score on that, he was right at the top bar. He's the guy that scored that 42 cent score in our system. He put those calves on Superior, and they, as we look back and look at what the average of cattle from his region and his weight and his sex and his characteristics brought, he earned right at a 30 cent premium. So on those five weight calves, he got back $150. His rep on Superior put it this way. He said, those calves have always topped the market. We knew those were good calves. They've always brought 5 to 7 cents over the top of the market. Once we could tell buyers what they were really worth, we blew the top off of that. And that's really the potential. If you're doing everything right, and, you know, it's the starting point for all this is, how do you manage what you don't measure? If you put your calves into one of these programs, even the guy whose Tom scored it didn't come out well, maybe even especially those guys, can then learn and say, now, I understand now what I would have to do to make that score better. You then have to make the determination. Do you want to change your cattle that way? Do you want those kind of cattle? But if you don't have that information, if you don't even know what they're worth, how can you effectively market the cattle? So with no further ado, we'll wrap up. There's some contact information for both Tom and his program and also for Ralph Peterson at Reputation Feeder Cattle. And I think we still have just enough time to take a question, Jason. Oh, one question for Tom.